Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. This morning I'd like to speak on a subject which concerns the new birth. If we'd open our Bibles to John chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 3, John chapter 3, and reading from verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly approach Thee this morning with the question of the new birth, because there are still so many following this message, Father, that do not know for certain whether they are truly born again. Because we said that the new birth is believing the message of the hour, it's raised up a second generation, even a third generation of children following this message, Father, that don't really know for certainty the power of your resurrection. Therefore, Father, my concern this morning is that the people have a good understanding of what it means to be born again, and we pray that you'll help those who are not sure that they are born again to come to know whether they are or not. And as your prophet said, the new birth is an experience, something that takes place. And so, Father, we know that there must be a realization in the people's hearts to know for certain, because their destiny depends on it. And we know it's not the experience that brings a new birth, but the new birth is experienced. We know when we're born again. And so, Father, we commit the study of this, of Thy Word this morning, and we just pray, Father, it'll bring forth effect in the lives of Your people, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I'd like to speak on the new birth to answer the questions, what is new birth and how do we know if we're born again or not? And for our text we've taken is John 3:3, where Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Brother Branham said, that means he cannot understand the kingdom of God. And we found in 1 Peter 1:23 that we are born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we see two things from our text this morning concerning the new birth. Number one, without the new birth, you will never see, nor could you understand, the kingdom of God. And number two, you are born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Therefore, the life that you have in you by the new birth must be commensurate with a birth to the Word. If it is Word birth, then your life will attest to the Word. Now, concerning point number one, to be able to understand the kingdom of God, and point number two, the life of the new birth, that will have to bear record to the Word of God, Brother Branham said the following. For Mary's belief, he said, now listen, friends, don't take a substitute. Don't just shake a man's hand and put your name on the book. That's as far as it goes. That's all right. It might help you to get out of saloon and get into a decent place and try to live right. That won't do it, though. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message of God. Well, that's what he said. They don't understand the message of God, but they claim to be born again. You know, Brother Branham told Brother George Smith, when he went and asked Brother Branham for Rebecca's hand, Brother George told me in Columbia, he said that when I went to ask Brother Branham for Becky's hand in marriage, Brother Branham said, I'll let you get engaged, but he said, you can't get married until you're both born again. So Brother Branham did not want to turn his daughter over to someone until he knew that she and he were both going to, that they were born again. And it's very important for you to understand why it is so important to be born again. Because without the new birth, you won't be in a rapture. Without the new birth, you have no eternal life. Without the new birth, you are basically here for a period of time, your existence, and then that's it. So concerning these points, Brother Branham said, now, listen, friends, don't take a substitute. Just don't shake hands with a man, put your name on their book. As far as that goes, that's all right, but it might help you get out of a saloon and get into a decent place and try to live right. But that won't do it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say they're born again and can't understand the message of God. They can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word and the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. So Brother Branham is not only saying that, look, you'll be able to see what's going on, but you're part of it. The confirmation is in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit because his spirit bears record with his word. The word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the dividing asunder of marrow and of the bone, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's thus saith the Lord. The Lord's word, just exactly, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in his elected church. And from, it shall be even as it was told unto me, Brother Branham said, anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. Now notice what Jesus tells us here. They hear, but they're not capable of understanding. Then what are they hearing? Not what is being said. But what they want to hear is what they're hearing. If I were to put Einstein's theory of relativity up there, which I have no clue what it is, but if I were to draw it all out and I would ask you to explain what that is, you'd have no clue. You just simply would have no clue unless you understood the theory of relativity. Then all those symbols would mean something to you. Everything that would be written up there would have special meaning and you would know what it means. Well, that's what the new birth does for you, is that when God does come in this hour, when God does what he is doing, you know it, you see it, you recognize it, you act upon it. So it doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. And notice when Jesus said they're not capable of understanding, then what they're hearing is basically, it's I don't know. Derek, why don't you say something in Polish? Say it again. Okay, only Michael probably understands what he's saying. What did you say?
Why not?
Okay, notice only Michael understands what he said and Derek himself, but the rest of us that don't speak any Polish don't understand. And so you can hear it, but you don't understand it. And same is with the Word of God. So notice then in the following quote, Brother Brown tells us the same thing. To hear means to understand, and to see means to understand. But just because you look with your eyes does not mean that you understand what you're looking at. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, now Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Brother Branham added, so see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looking right at it, and you say, well, I don't see it. See, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. See, you understand it, or you don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at anything, but with what's inside of you, you understand with, you see with that, see? With the eyes of God, you look. Now, what I'm bringing to you this morning is, I believe, very important, because if you're not born again, you're not going in a rapture. So you had better know that you are born again. From the super sign, Brother Branham said, now let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you perish. You cannot rise up again. And I believe the rapture is already in process, because God has come down with a shout. Brother Branham said there's three stages to the rapture. There's a voice, a shout, a voice, and a trump. And the shout is the message. And we have 2 million people following the message, so-called. They're following the prophet, but they're not following the message, because they don't know what the message is. They're not born again. And these words are not just for this little group here, but these words go out to 163 countries. And the fact is that the majority of people who claim to follow the pillar of fire, just as it was in the days of Moses, when 2 million people left Egypt, and only two out of the original 2 million that left entered in, Joshua and Caleb, and then those that were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. So too we have 2 million people following the message today. And how many of them are truly born again? Well, those who have a revelation, not just, well, God sent a prophet, that's not a revelation. The devil knows that. He's attacked that. No, the revelation is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. As Brother Rand said, man, his words would fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So anyway, Brother Brown says, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. And from questions and answers, he said, will all born-again believers go in the rapture? No, just the remnant, not all born-again believers. So even if you do get born again, only the elect are going in. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years, and when they raised up and separated the sheep from the goats, not all born again will go in according to the Scripture. What is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. When the Holy Ghost has come, He will show you things to come. See, He'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it, and He is the Word. When He, the Holy Ghost, has come, He will identify Himself in you with the Scripture. And that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is the Word. So it is the Word in you, he says. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word, he said, first faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. Then the believer hears it, he recognizes it, and he acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand it. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Now, what I'm concerned for, is the generations now, two generations that have come up in this message, or in the message churches, and they've never been taught anything but the message. And yet, what message they have been taught in most cases has been wrong, because they've been taught a oneness understanding of the Godhead. And their parents say, well, all you have to believe is God sent a prophet. All you have to believe is the message, and you're born again. So we have a generation, possibly two generations of young people that have been raised up thinking they're born again, and they've never had an experience with God. They say, well, you believe the message, you've got Brother Branham, you've got Lee Vail, it's all you got to have. Listen, you're not going in on Brother Branham's life, and you're not going in on Lee Vail's life. If you're not born again, I would get serious about finding that birth. Listen, they believe because that is all they've been taught. Sure, they believe the message. That's all they've been taught. But what do they really believe? So they have been indoctrinated to a creed. God sent a prophet. That's a creed. They've been indoctrinated to a teaching, to a movement. But that doesn't mean they're born again. To believe God has sent a prophet in our day does not get you into the family of God. As a friend of mine once said to Brother Billy Paul, he said, "What would you rather be, the son of a prophet or a son of God?" A new birth brings the very life of God Himself into you. From Christ's mystery God revealed, Brother Branham said, look, Christ in you makes Him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what God's trying to do. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is a revelation that the church was built upon. Excuse me. From the second coming of Christ, Brother Ram said, now you can have an intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind and accepting it upon that basis, which is intellectual faith. But the fact that the faith that Jesus was speaking of in St. John 5 and 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That doesn't come from an intellectual faith. That comes from being having a born-again experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, he's born again. And from there comes forth the thought, his soul. Not from his mind, but from his soul. Something that tells him that it's wrong. And contrary, it's wrong. Amen. I hope you get it. You know it anyhow. What's he saying? Another place, Brother Branham said, all it begins with intellectual faith. He says it starts right here. But when the Holy Ghost anoints that and drops it into your soul, then it becomes a dynamic revelation. You see, the ministry of the fivefold is to get it to here. Then it's up to God to water it and bring it into your soul. My concern for the children of God in the message, especially in this country, is that the people are not getting their children to Christ. They're getting them to a doctrine, or they're getting them to a message, or they're getting them to a prophet or to a teacher. And they say, well, you know what? We've got Brother Vail. We've got, therefore, we're the elect. Are you? Are you? Well, we got Brother Branham. Therefore, we're the elect. Are you? The 2 million people that followed Moses, everyone perished in the wilderness. They had Moses. And when Jesus came along, they said, we don't need you. We got Moses. And the people that had Moses, they died spiritually. And just because you got a prophet doesn't mean diddly squat to God. Do you have what the prophet brought? The message. What is the message? Christ. He is our life. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory, in the same mind, the same opinion, the same judgment. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. That's what God wants. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Ram tells us, but the only way that you're saved is by knowing Him, by revelation. And there's a big difference between knowing something as a creed and then having it revealed to you down in your soul. Because when it comes alive in your soul, as Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. When it comes alive in your soul, the word just lights up all around you. Your life becomes focused only on one thing, and that's living for Christ, serving Him. As Job said, though He slay me, yet I'll trust Him. I don't go running around the world just so that I can make a name for myself. I could care less. I don't come back with malaria and different fevers every time I go because I enjoy it. I go because I know that's what God wants me to do. And the brothers, their testimony after our meetings over there when God met with us in such a mighty way. They said, I've come, the brothers wrote to me and said, I've resolved one thing, the rest of my days, I'm going to live for Christ. Now to have that testimony means a lot to me. Because I see the impact on the lives of brethren around the world. That the ministry which God has imparted to me has caused them to want to devote their entire days to living for Christ. And that's my hope for each of you. Now you say, well, I'm just a housewife. No, you're not. You're a daughter of God. You're a daughter of God. There are souls that you can talk to, that you can win, that you can save. Too many people have seen their children come up in the message and either be just good church people and continue to attend church, or they go out altogether away from the church. Either reason, whatever they do, whether they just come, they attend church, they're good church people, or they go out into the world altogether, leave church, it's because they're not born again. And I wonder sometimes if the parents that raise them are born again themselves. You know if you've done a good job, if you pointed your kids to Christ, if you've done everything you can to do to lead them to Christ, you know. And if you haven't, you have to pick that up with God. But if you've done everything you can do and they just haven't had revelation, they haven't seen the light, that's their business. You just pray that God would have mercy upon them. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, Paul knew Him by revelation. That's how we know Him today, is the only way that you could know Him. Not say I'm Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. I'm Catholic, that means nothing. And I'd like to add, I'm a Branhamite, that means nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed the Word to you. He is the Word and the Word. And the Word, how you know it's revealed, it lives itself and expresses itself through you. Are you identified with the Word so much that you see the Word express itself through you? I'm just putting the challenge out. That's what He said. These are not my words. These are His words. I'm just asking you. Are we caught up into the buying and selling and building and all these things like the days of Noah? You know, they built, they married, they gave in marriage and all these things that go with life. And they were so caught up into just living that they left God right out of everything. And so when God took His elect, He just left the others out too. Now, Brother Brown said, if you have received the life of Christ in you, it will express itself out from you. It has to. We are not called to become Branhamites. God never called us for that purpose. He has called us to become what we were meant to be, and that is sons of God. I'll never forget, a young man came to me years ago. And he said, I always believe that I'm God's elect. And I said, you can believe what you want to believe. But unless you're born again, you're not going in a rapture. I don't care how elect you are, if you're not quickened to the election, it means nothing. There are seeds planted that never come to fruit. They fell among thorns. So I don't think, praise God, I was born into the message, so I'm okay. Because unless you've received a new birth, you're as dead can be, yet while you're living. When Christ is a mystery, he said, it's Christ being revealed, and he is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. You see, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. Christ, God died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only in the Word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conceptions of men. And that is a problem that I see even among those who claim to have the right doctrine. They have it by revelation and not just by an intellectual conception, then it has life in it. And it must live itself out in our lives, or it hasn't been revealed. Faith is a revelation, and if it's truly revealed, it must build up an energy, and that energy must itself manifest in actions. That is what life is all about. Dead horses don't kick. They just sit there or lay there. And dead people spiritually do not manifest the energy of God concerning the revelation of Christ. They're just preoccupied with the cares of this life like the rest of the world, and except for the church that they attend or the ministry that they ascribe to, they are no different than the rest of the world. And that's what I see happening in this message. I'm sorry, but I can't say any different. 2 million people following William Branham, and of the 2 million, how many are truly born again? Think about that. What's happening? Do they even listen to the voice? Is it doing anything down in their soul? Is it quickening them to the day and the hour which they live? Do they see the Word living itself out within them? From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown says, the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all of that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his Word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Notice, by the same actions he did. That's what he said here. Now, the new birth is a real event. Many people look at it as though it's just sort of happened. And they're not sure when it happened, but they presume they have it because they attend the right church. Yeah. Well, I go to Brother Vale's church. That means I'm okay, aren't I? Well, you got some question there? Well, I go to the Jefferson Tabernacle, Brother Branham's Tabernacle. That means I got it. Does it? I ain't going to argue with you. You believe you got it, well, God bless you. But if you're uncertain, I'll stay here and I'll pray. If we got to stay here 24 hours, I'll pray until you know in your soul that you're born again. that you've received, that little sliver, as Brother Branham says, about the size of your little fingernail, that sliver of God's life come into your soul. Because when you have it, all you can think about is Christ. From morning till night, it permeates every aspect of your life. Many people look at it as though, actually, as I said, well, it just sort of happened. And they're really not sure when it happened, but they presume, after all, that because they attend the right church, you know, that they got it. And that's hogwash. And the person that thinks that isn't born again. Many say, well, we have Brother Branham. We believe he's a prophet of God. We have Brother Vail. We believe he's a teacher. And that sort of thinking is carnal. Paul said, well, that some say they got Cephas and some say they got Paul. Some say they got Apollos. He said, aren't you carnal? That's what he said. You won't make the rapture based on Brother Ram's life, and you won't make the rapture based on Brother Vail and his life. You will make the rapture based on your life, being born again as a son or daughter of God, period. And to be born again is a life-altering experience, and if your life has not been altered to serve the living God, then I wonder if you're truly born again. Oh, you might talk the talk, and you might walk the walk, but are you alive to Christ and what he's doing in this hour? There is a worldwide revival taking place among the bride right now. Brother Branham did say the bride would have a revival. She's having it. Are you? She's having a revival. I know, I've been there. Every place I've gone, the people go into revival because of the doctrine of Christ. I see it. Lives are changed. And yet most Americans who claim to believe the message are not even aware what God is doing. And not only what he is doing, because God is doing it, but he's also confirming it with signs and wonders. Those that are teaching the doctrine are getting healings. Not just a few. We're getting a lot of healings. And not only that, but God is confirming what we're teaching with signs and wonders. Last year when a great storm was stopped. This year with the rainbow coming down, standing over the church, moving down from the heavens, standing right over the church, morphing into a circle. And the very sun itself being centered in that circle. Now you might not say, well, you might say, well, you know, that's just, you guys are just into fanaticism. Well, let me tell you something. How does fanaticism produce a rainbow coming down? When the scripture says that the rainbow was upon his head and his face was as it were the sun. And so the rainbow came down and circled the sun, circled the face of God, the presence of God coming down. God's confirming, he always promised he would confirm his word with signs and wonders. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, Brother Branham said, I was telling someone this afternoon in a little meeting, I said, every son that's born of God has to be tried first and chastened. And I remember when I had mine, on my greatest hour, when a man's born again, there's a little spot like the size of his fingernail that God injects into his system. And it falls into his heart and there anchors. Then Satan makes him prove it. And if it ain't there, you're gone. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bringeth forth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, or some 30. And William Branham taught us that to see means to understand. So Jesus is saying the same thing. Now notice how Brother Brown tells us that the Holy Ghost comes and anoints our mental faith, and that becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon the word upon word upon word. That Brother Brown says, when these streams of grace pours in upon our mental faith. Then he says, when them streams of grace is poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this a spiritual revelation. Now Peter, the one who Jesus praised for receiving the revelation of the Godhead, that there is one God and he had a son, and Jesus was that Son of God. In 1 Peter 1 and 13 he tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he says, at the end time, there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, we read, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you are enriched. So this grace brings on a maturity like fertilizer. You're enriched by him in all utterance, that's logos, and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now this is the same as 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10 where God comes to be glorified in his saints. When the very mind of God comes into his elect seed. And the reason for this is so that you will not come behind in any gift. That word is charisma, which is spiritual endowment. Waiting for the apocalypsis, or the revealing or the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that when this revelation breaks forth, we'll understand. And there'll be a certain portion of grace that comes in. As Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 4 and verse 7, we read, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So we find then that the identifiable characteristic of the new birth is that people will be caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ. They won't be caught up into self. Now, as this revelation breaks forth, we'll understand the grace that comes with it, bringing us into the same mindset so that we might all cry out with one accord, grace, grace unto it. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, we read, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness, before God, even our Father, at the coming, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, God is faithful by whom you are called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But how are you going to have the same mind if you don't have the same DNA? See, if you don't have the same spirit, how are you going to have the same mind? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, who knows the mind of God? That they could teach him anything. But he said, but the spirit knoweth all things. He said, no one could know the mind of a man except the mind of a man be in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except the Spirit of God be in him. So when the Spirit of God is in you, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. It begins to bring forth an understanding. And that understanding brings life. It brings energy. It brings action. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father and we know to have his mind, we must have his Spirit. And we know that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. So it's already a done deal. So as we see in 1 Peter 1:13 and 1 Corinthians 1, chapter verse 4 to 10, God has given us a spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ. And he said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible for you to have God's own thoughts within you, within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham was now talking about. In that last quotation we read from the spoken word's original seed. Notice how he begins quoting from John 5:19, where Jesus said, "The Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise." And that's what Ephesians 1 is all about, that we were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world, ordained to come forth as children ready for an adoption by the coming into the very mind of the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. Are we? And without blame before him or in his presence. Are we? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, that's the key. It's him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Just think. While we were yet in him, before the foundations of the world, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. To whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's what adoption is all about. That we might obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted that after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We sit here in church today. Brother Branham said, church is a place of correction. I'm not here to browbeat anybody because I'm not your father. God is your father. I'm your brother. I just ask that each and every one of us take a real heartfelt look into our soul. Don't get so busy with the activities of the world that you don't, on a daily basis, take a good look into the mirror of the Word and see where you're standing. Are we truly born again? I believe most of you in here are. And if you are, and if you know you are, then pray for those whom you have your doubts. Or in your case, Brother Adam, you'd be praying for your children. Because until they're born again and child trained, anybody, until they're born again and child trained, they're not going in a rapture. So all we can do is pray. Pray that God will quicken his word, his seed, his life in them. And I believe they could be very young. John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So my prayer is that we, in sincerity and truth, we lay ourselves prostrate before God and we ask Him to have the preeminence in our life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We believe, Father, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are God and You change not. We recognize Your sovereignty, O God. You are the God who puts up and You are the God who takes down. We also believe You are the God who healeth all our diseases. And Father, I pray in the name of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that every divine promise that You've given us, that we'll lay a hold of. And truly the first concern we have this day is for all of our loved ones, that they truly are born again. And so, Lord, we just commit these words into Thy keeping in Jesus Christ's name. And may the words on this tape and the sincerity of these words go forth and strike into the soul of every believer that would listen to this sermon. And may it cause them to stop and ask themselves, are they certain? As Brother Branham said, be certain of God. And so, Lord, we just commit this service in Jesus Christ's name. We pray that You would water it, Father, and bring forth the results. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael, could you close the outside door? Let's just sing that song from 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. One more time. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able which I have committed unto Him.